You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
Welcome along to Talking Teesdale once again. I'm Stuart Launday.
And I'm Jane Woodward.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, Stuart. It's panto season.
I'm glad one of us actually has made the effort. You're looking very fetching there in your Santa hat. And your Christmas jumper.
And you've got absolutely nothing.
I know, I don't really do
Bar
that sort
humbug.
Of thing. Absolutely.
Scrooge.
That's me. I do not possess a Santa hat. I do not possess a Christmas jumper. The likelihood of me possessing either is slim to nil.
I'm sure I can find you some reindeer antlers to pop on your head.
No. I keep getting threatened with having to wear those when I go and help out in Oxfam. I don't know.
I think it should be imperative.
Are you all set yet? Have you done your Crimbo shopping?
No, I haven't.
That makes two of us.
Doesn't start until after this weekend.
The reason I mention that is that our guest this week is Rob Rouse, comedian who's coming in. Who's coming in March? He doesn't miss an opportunity to suggest that comedy tickets to his show. Or tickets to his comedy show, even, are the best thing to buy for Christmas.
Christmas presents, yes.
And not a last-ditch desperate present.
Exactly, and we've got lots of tickets people could buy for Christmas presents at the Witham, and gift vouchers.
Absolutely. But no, Rob's coming up. I had a great chat with him this morning. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a great show that he's got coming anyway.
Yeah.
Not that I'd like to sway you in any way to buy, you know, tickets for mm-hmm. Christmas.
Sounds interesting.
So are you a Christmas Eve Christmas shopper?
No. Not really. I'll do it at some point. I don't know. I don't know what everyone's going to get. Random things, whatever I can find in the shops online.
General stocking fillers.
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, we'll be talking all things Christmas a little bit later on. There's quite a few bits and bobs coming up before the big day at mm-hmm. the Witham. So we'll be back in a little while. But in the meantime, we'd best crack on.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Jim.
And I'm Sheila.
We're volunteers at the Witham.
And you're listening to Talking Teesdale with Stuart and Jane.
And so to this week's special guest, who is comedian Rob Rouse. Rob has been making audiences laugh for more than 25 years. Television credits include a starring role in the BBC comedy Upstart Crow. It's one of an impressive list of TV, stand-up and radio credits to his name. He's heading out on tour for the first time in a couple of years with a new show called Funny Bones, and it includes a gig at the Witham in Barnard Castle on Thursday, March the 5th. As happens quite a lot with these podcasts that rely on video sharing platforms, we started off, as always, by talking about the reliability of broadband.
Yes, I mean, the signal should be all right here, Stuart, but this is no word of a lie. My internet comes from the local garden centre. Because I live in the Peak District in a village, and we get our internet direct from our local garden centre.
I saw that you live down there. Are you all I know about the Peak, I don't even know if it's the Peak District. I'm a bit of a canal boater, and I've been to the...
Is that a euphemism?
No, I just drive a canal boat around the canals.
Have you got your own canal boat?
We haven't. We just hire, but I think it was last year.
Is that a euphemism?
We're...
No. Okay. No. Yeah, we're just checking.
No, I just pay for a service. And we decided to have a go at the Peak Forest Canal.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Which is quite something, because I only ever thought that think of the Peak District and it's all hills.
Yes.
And it's kind of, how do you get a canal through hills? But it's a lovely little branch.
Well, that's
canal.
What the Victorians sussed out, wasn't it? Incredible. Yeah.
They are. These things are amazing. Now, the nearest canal to us is down near Skipton in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And there's a part of it where we get to, which just follows the contours of the land. Mm. And if you imagine two blokes, each with a stick, in about 1780, just walking around.
Yeah.
It's incredible,
isn't it? When you think now your standard IKEA shelf is hanging off the wall at almost right angles within a couple of hours, isn't it? But in the Victorian era, without iPhones and all those kind of things, they managed to build these incredible waterways that traversed the whole country. Absolutely. On a slight footfall. Yeah. Amazing, all the way through. Very similar to I had to build. I built an annex. My mother-in-law lives in the garden, not free range. I should add. She's in the annex that I built, and at the end of lockdown, and I had to build a soil pipe, obviously, to connect grey water to the mains drainage. And you have to get similarly like a canal. You have to get a very small footfall on that, 1 in 40. You have to create what's known in the trade, and I hope no one's eaten their breakfast, a lazy river. It's called.
Oh dear.
That's what plumbers call it, a lazy river. Well, so you want a gentle procession down the pipe.
We're not just here to entertain. We're here to
to inform. Absolutely, it's a Reithian brief.
In fact, what we're here to talk about is your upcoming tour, which takes place in the spring. But we thought we'd have a chat now, see if we could shift a ticket or two.
Well, I'm delighted to be on it. Yes,
Christmas is coming. You know, comedy show tickets do make very good presents.
I think they're a great choice for any Christmas gift. And woe betide anyone who says it was a last minute impulse purchase or a panic buy.
Christmas Eve on the computer.
Well, I think, and in all seriousness, I think everyone's got enough stuff, haven't they? They've got enough things. Absolutely. So you might as well go and do some things and have some experiences. So buy some tickets to my tour for Christmas for any loved one.
Your tour is called Funny Bones. It's a new show, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's basically, I've not toured for a couple of years. I've not done a full UK tour since about 2017, I think. Right. What with other work commitments, and then of course we had the national cough, which curtailed a lot of kind of immediate plans. Yeah, so I'm really excited to be back on the road, and so I kind of, it's all stuff that I've been working up the last year or so, and I can't wait to get out there and do it. I'm itching.
This intrigues me because the tour, from what I can see, the tour starts in the spring.
Yes.
So is the show, is it ready? Are you still working on it?
If I had to do it tomorrow, I could do it tomorrow. Right. And I could do Funny Bones tomorrow. And I think the idea is, ultimately, when you do any tour show, it depends on the kind of comic you are. If you're the kind of comic who writes it, locks it, and then that's exactly how you do it every night, then the tour won't change. But if your listeners are probably getting the impression I'm not the kind of comic who writes it word for word and does it like that, then things definitely evolve. And I think I always like to leave a bit of options in each show to do certain bits depending on what feels right in the mood and the room, the night we're there, what's going on, be able to follow things that occur and be flexible with it. Yeah. So I think of it like it's a big wardrobe full of daft coats, and I'll put them all, or hopefully put on as many of the right ones as I can. Yeah. For the audience on that night. That's what I try and do.
So are you one of these that goes out and does sort of test shows on audiences to see how it goes, or do you just sit there and write it and then that's it, you take it out?
No, I mean all of the stuff, I mean, essentially my...
If you want to get into the writing process, Stuart, my writing process would be... I
write mainly on stage. So, you know, I'm doing gigs all the time.
Yeah.
I run some gigs locally in the Peak District that I host, so I'm always writing for those, and kind of stuff, you work stuff up in front of an audience. That's how it always has worked for me. You put yourself in the corner and then try and kind of slug your way out basically with an idea, and I do lots of new material nights and work things up live, and then you build kind of routines and stuff comes together. Some of it just comes out of the ether. Some of it comes very quickly. Other times you're slowly building things. And then when it's ready, I sort of park that up and then build the next bit and then park that up. And then before you know it, you've got a whole show.
Excellent. Are you a storyteller or are you a one-liner or a bit of both?
I do a bit of everything. I think that there's stories in this show. There's loads of jokes. And I always think if you're telling stories, there should be jokes on the way to jokes. That's what I try and think about.
Yeah.
And there's songs, there's going to be, there might even be a couple of characters in it as well, depending on which night you come.
Does it get easier with age. I don't think I'm telling any secrets. I'm pretty sure.
Do you mean life? Do you mean life or
comedy? I think you, like me, won't see 50 again.
No.
So you've been at this a while.
50 is yeah, I'm 50. Well, as we speak today, I don't know when this podcast goes out, but I'm 51. Show business age, 50 and a half. That's what it should be, isn't it? Just knock off. I think that's what most celebrities do, isn't it? Knock off 6 months, don't they? But I've not had any work done.
me neither, but strangely enough. Hard to believe, isn't it, really?
I think you're perfect as you are, Stuart. I don't think you need any work doing. But does it get easier? I suppose you learn more about who you are as you get older, don't you? And you learn more about kind of what matters, and you learn more about kind of what's within your control, what's out of your control. And I think, and if you're in, it's, I really shudder when I use the word career or job, because I kind of got into it all. There was no plan. There was no plan, and I think, yeah. So I think on one level it does get easier because it's about getting out of your own way. I think ultimately creativity, isn't it? And whether you're a musician or you're a comic or you're a poet or you're a writer or whatever, it's about getting out of your own way and letting the stuff come through, and then connecting with the audience with it. I think.
Yeah. What would 51-year-old Rob Rouse think of 20-something-year-old Rob Rouse when you were just starting out? I mean, were you an angry young man? Were you an angry comic when you started?
I've never really been an angry young man. I've never really been an angry man. I was more deluded. I was naive. I was scared. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was having a great time doing it, I think. Yeah. I think the older me would look on that young lad kindly and maybe put an arm on his shoulder and just say, "It's all right, son.
It'll be all right.
Just calm down. Just calm down. You'll be all right."
I was looking back at your biography, and it said you were training to be a geography teacher. You must have knocked that on the head. You must have known very early on that geography teaching wasn't going to be for you.
I did about either two or three very torrid days of supply teaching, and then crunched and rolled into show business. But because my whole education was a series of defaults, I didn't know what I wanted to do. But I remember when I was about, what day did Big Night Out come out with Vic and Bob? I think it was, I've just been listening to Bob's audiobook again in the car. I think it was about 80, I'm going to say 89, maybe.
Yeah, sounds 89. About right.
So I would have been about, I would have been 14, 15. And I remember Vic Reeves popping up on the telly, just going, "Watch me, Vic Reeves, Big Night Out, Friday, 9 o'clock, Channel 4. And I thought, I'm there. And I something, and it just, so that was, that really planted a seed in me of a love of just kind of just being silly. Definitely. Yeah. And it really connected with me at a really pivotal age. And then I also loved, like, you know, the Blackadder was on, Fry and Laurie. So it was a lot of comedy that I was consuming in my little village, and my little kind of, in many ways, kind of boring childhood life. But in a great way, you know, completely outside, you know, that kind of upbringing that we had. There was no phones. You just got bored. And essentially parenting was maybe could be reframed as benign neglect nowadays. I don't know. But you were just out and about, weren't you? You did everything you could not to be in. And then you get in, have your tea, and then watch Vic and Bob.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I always loved comedy. But you don't see... that's how you would end up doing that. So these seeds sort of planted in your head. And then I went to school. I just wanted to get out of the little town I grew up in. And I ended up going to Sheffield University. I got a grant.
Yes, I remember those.
That was free back then. It's insane.
Yeah, I got a grant. I think it was about the last lot of people that got a grant.
Yeah, we were about the last round, weren't we? We're there. And then when I was training, and then I did a geography degree, which I was having a great time meeting people. I was in bands and stuff, and I didn't know what I wanted to do at the end. I thought if I trained to be a teacher, they always look happy, and teachers are happy people, and then I could travel around the world maybe and teach, and then stave off having to make a decision. And then I did the PGCE, and it was without a doubt the hardest year I've ever had in my life, of just kind of hard work, responsibility. It was dead hard. I just realised, God, how lucky I'd been as a kid, and then how some kids have a really, really tough time. And I had immense respect for every teacher that tolerated the idiot me growing up. But I just knew it wasn't quite right for me. So I completed it because I felt I was learning more than I'd ever learnt my whole life in that year. And then while I was doing that, I did a one-off gig in a pub in Sheffield at the Fox and Duck for a charity thing. It's got bullied into it. And I just thought, I've got to do that.
Are you the sort of person who naturally gets up in front of people, or did somebody have to push you forward to
I was encouraged by mates, encouraged by friends. Yeah. And I can remember, like, as a kid, I once had to come in early and do a morning detention at primary school because I'd been mucking around, and I had to tidy up. And as I was tidying up, I accidentally put my foot in a ice cream tub that had biros in it. I tripped up and banged my head on the corner of the table and cut my head open. I had to go into the hospital for stitches. And I remember on the way in, my mum driving me in going, yeah, at least I won't have to perform in the assembly. I mean, it was just a sense of relief. So the idea of stepping on a stage scared me, but it was obviously about finding the way that I needed to step on a stage, if that makes sense. Yeah.
And I mean, in the same way that sportsmen or sportsmen and women tend to perform better if they get a bit nervous, a bit keyed up beforehand, does that still happen to you before you're going out on stage? Do you need to feel a bit of tension, a bit of nerves before you get up there to give a good show?
Absolutely, yeah. At the start, I would feel almost paralysed with nerves and really anxious, and I might be sick and all that kind of stuff right at the very beginning. But still, I wanted to keep doing it. And that, I mean, you can't, I mean, your guts couldn't survive. Your valves would all go if you did that for 30 years. I think what I've learned is to not second guess my emotions, if that makes sense. So if I'm nervous, you go, oh, that's all right, I'm nervous. That's fine, I'm about to do kind of like a parachute jump. That's all right. So don't get anxious about the fact you're nervous. And then likewise, if you're not nervous, don't go, oh, I should be nervous. Don't get in your head about the fact you're not. No, just accept where you are, I think, and then go from there. So I just try and find a way of being present, Stuart. Try and find a way of being present in the moment, because you've done all your preparation, and you've just got to be. Then you've got to be wide awake to what's going on, I think, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So to prepare it all, and then get ready to either do all of it or none of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You've done many things over the years. Have you produced yet the perfect stand-up hour, the perfect stand-up hour of comedy yet? Do you still strive? Do you always find fault with something or other at the end of a tour or at the end of a gig or whatever?
I think that's a brilliant question, Stuart, and I can see why you do this podcast so well. And I think if any comedian ever says, yes, Stuart, I have written the perfect hour of stand-up, you should probably just turn all the mics off.
I only ask because I spent 40 years as a journalist in local newspapers.
Yeah.
And I've produced thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And some are better than others, obviously, but I've never, ever, I packed in April and I've never produced the one, the front page.
Yeah.
And you always strive for it. And I just wondered if it was the same sort of thing with you, if you're always striving.
Yeah, I think you're always trying to make the next thing and make it as well as you possibly can. And then it's a really interesting thing, because you, whatever you make, you can't do, it's all meaningless without the audience. And then the audience, they tell you what they think of it. And it's kind of, you make it and then you give it to them and it's theirs, if that makes sense. Yeah. And then you sort of react to it, and you can rework it a bit, or you can go, oh man, that bombed, and you throw it away, and then or you tinker with it, or it flies, or yeah, it's kind of out of your hands in a way. It's out of your hands and in your hands, because I think that's what's amazing about stand up is you can't do it in a vacuum, or at least I can't. So that I know there's people who can write jokes that they can go right. I can see you all the way around that like a floating glass sphere. But that's not the kind of thing I do. So it's so you need the audience to kind of express with. So yeah, you always are striving to make them laugh as much as you possibly can, and get all of us into that place where maybe we don't quite know why we started laughing in the first place, but we can't stop. That's the dream. That's the dream.
Absolutely. So bringing it back to Funny Bones, what's it about? What's the show about? Does it have a theme? Must have a theme.
There is. I mean, in terms of the theme, there are a few. So the first one is it's me trying to be as funny as I possibly can for the entire show, for 2 45-minute periods, like a game of football. And then secondly, there is a story attached through the visual images on the poster. Which is there is a skeleton dog on there, so there might be a thread of a story about a hound in there.
that sounds very intriguing.
yeah, but it's interesting and it kind of so that there's a loose theme within it. There's a loose theme, but I don't hang it too hard on the fact that the show is about something, if that makes sense. It's not a political show. It's not an angry show. It's a celebration of being daft and trying to, all of us, get out of our heads together and have a really, really good time for a night. And if I can do that, then I'll be a very happy man.
Very good. That seems a good place to stop, I think.
Did you feel you've got enough?
Absolutely.
Great.
That was a splendid chat.
What's your region? Where do you cover? Because we should flag up the date, shouldn't we?
Yeah, Barnard Castle.
Barnard Castle.
Have you been here before?
Yes, I have, yeah, for Peter.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, because we've got Alnwick. Is that quite near?
Yeah, Alnwick.
That's in shooting distance. That's on the 3rd of March. 4th of March in Hexham.
Yeah, Hexham's near us, nearish.
At the Queen's, it's Queen's Hall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thursday the 5th of March, Barnard Castle at the Witham.
At the Witham, yeah.
And then we're also in Pocklington.
Oh, that's that within. That's within a bit range. Further down from us, yeah.
It's a bit further down, isn't it? Yeah. And we're Helmsley, that's in Yorkshire, isn't it, as well?
Alnwick, Hexham, and Barnard Castle, that's us.
Those are the big three.
Those are the big three around here.
That's the triumvirate of the big three that we're looking at, yeah.
Oh, well, very good. Well, have a great Christmas.
Thank you very much, Stuart, and it's a delight to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us on. And do remember, listeners, comedy tickets to Rob Rouse Funny Bones make great Christmas presents. They really do. It's the gift that says, I truly love you.
Rob, thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure, Stuart. Lovely to meet you.
Cheers.
Hi, this is Louise, Queen of Social Media, and you're listening to Talking Teasdale with Stuart and Jane.
So Jane's back. This is our last one of the year.
Yes, it will be.
I've lost my bit of paper, inevitably. But I counted up how many podcasts we'd done this year. It's between 25 and 30 or something like that.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Seems a lot. But
I'm surprised
anyway,
we've got anything left to talk about.
We're going out on a high.
Okay, yeah.
Because we're talking about what's coming up to keep everybody entertained in the run-up to Christmas. Let's start with the panto.
The panto.
It's panto season.
It is. Hurrah.
No, you're supposed to say, oh, yes, it is. Oh. We rehearsed that and everything.
I was going to get that in another time. No.
Hours we spent rehearsing
then.
It in time. And never mind, we'll just crack on. So the panto runs from
public performances.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Run from Friday the 19th of December
mm-hmm.
up until Christmas Eve. And we've got 9 performances.
Okay. That's basically 2 a day, isn't it? More or less.
Yeah, more or less. So several different times, including a relaxed performance on Sunday the 21st.
I've heard the advert for this.
Yes.
Explain relaxed.
Well, it basically means that if you've got younger children,
right,
or maybe disabled children or disabled adults,
okay,
that perhaps need maybe need a bit of space or need to be able to move around a bit more, or the okay. lighthouse lights will be on so gotcha. It won't be as dark, the music won't be as loud.
Right.
That's basically it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I understood. I was a little confused yes. as to what, you know, because all theatre should be relaxing, shouldn't it? I suppose.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, so, yeah.
Right, that clears that That's up. That. So there's a variety of times and dates.
Yes.
So there should be something there to for everybody there to should. Fit into their busy Christmas schedules.
Yes, although there are a couple of performances that are very nearly sold out.
Okay. I'm guessing one of those will be on Christmas Eve.
One of them's Christmas Eve and one of them's on the Saturday.
Right.
I think, or was it the Sunday? Yeah. One of those anyway.
Yeah.
But yes.
But it's school holidays, so people, everybody should be able to find something to suit the times and their busy schedules.
I might want to come more than once.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate to ask, are you bringing your huge teenage sons to the shows this year? No,
a couple of years ago they said they're too old for Panto now.
You can always bring your mum.
Yes, she'd enjoy it, actually. she likes a bit of audience participation.
Oh, well, grab a ticket and bring her along. We should probably tell people what the panto is.
It's Snow White.
For anybody who doesn't know, Snow White has been very popular this year. There's been a few Snow Whites around the place.
I've noticed that. We probably could tell the listeners that we've got next year's panto, which hopefully will be on sale.
Go on.
Cinderella.
Oh, right. You shall go to the ball.
Yes.
Marvellous.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be by the same the same lot, so everybody knows what to expect now.
Yes. Because, traditional panto fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good stuff. Lots of audience participation.
Exactly. Oh, yes, there is.
Thank you.
Oh, see, I told you I was going to get it in later on.
Thanks heavens for that. Now, as well as the panto, there's one or two other bits and pieces coming up as well to keep people entertained. There's the annual visit from our friends in Staindrop.
Yes, Dukes of Scar.
They'll have been... I haven't seen them. There was a couple of people came into the shop the other day into Oxfam. And it's the two sisters who I thought still played with the Dukes of Scarf. Oh. But alas, they've put their ukuleles down.
Oh, dear. Okay.
However, but there's a good core of them still going strong.
Yep, there are.
I'm sure Jim's got them all well rehearsed.
He has. The Ukulele Christmas Sessions, that's what it's called this year.
Excellent. When is it?
It is on Saturday the 20th at 2 o'clock upstairs in the Witham Room.
Excellent. That'll be good fun.
And very kindly...
Mm-hmm.
They have said that they are doing this concert as a fundraiser for the Witham.
Bravo. So
all the ticket monies will be coming to the Witham.
Excellent. Even more reason to get yourself along to the Dukes of Scarth, who are great fun.
They are.
And also on Saturday the 20th is something that is actually not... There's lots of snow involved, but not Christmas.
No, that's the only Christmas link, I think. this is a spoken word. So it's a talk by Callum Matthews.
Yep.
About his climb to Everest, on Everest. Teasdale to the Top of the World, it's called.
Mm.
And that's in aid of Teasdale and Weardale Search and Mountain Rescue.
Excellent stuff. Now, Callum, if I remember rightly, his dad used to run Castle Vets.
All right, okay.
And a few years ago, there was a BBC, one of these afternoon documentaries made.
Mm.
I'm trying to remember his dad's first name. Escapes me at the minute, but anyway, his dad featured in this BBC documentary about the work of rural vets.
Okay, well, so. It says that he's the son of Richard and Mary Matthews.
Richard,
yeah, and Callum is a part-time army reservist with the Honourable Artillery Company.
Excellent. So that'll be an interesting evening.
It will.
Chatting about
5:30 that starts.
Chatting about getting to the top of Everest.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I've met one or two people who've been up to the top of Everest. Mm. Alan Hinks was the first chap that I interviewed who made it to the top of Everest. That's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
Steve Dixon from Barnard Castle Cricket Club.
Mm-hmm.
He got up there earlier this year as well. So it seems a bit of a bucket list thing.
Mm.
You fancy giving it a crack?
I was going to say, are you going to do it, Stuart?
Have you got a head for heights?
I like walking, but no, I think that's a bit...
Not uphill.
That's not, no. A bit out of my comfort zone, that one.
Yes, I think so. I think so. So, anyway, for details of all this and obviously everything that's already lined up for next year, where do we go?
Online.
To?
www.thewitham.org.uk.
Excellent. And the box office number is?
01833 631107.
Marvellous stuff.
Now, it might be worth just mentioning about our opening times over Christmas.
Yes, because it'll be different this year. Normally, the place just shuts down for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
However, so with the new bar...
Yes, exactly. So we're open Christmas Eve until 4 o'clock.
Right.
Then we're closed Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're open Boxing Day. Bar is open 12 noon until 6 o'clock.
Marvellous.
So if you're going out for your Boxing Day bargains and you want to grab a drink...
I was kind of hoping they've got a big screen up so I can watch the King George horse racing, to be honest.
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. But
yes,
you could try a pint of Dr. Syntax, which was Henry Witham's racehorse.
Marvellous. So that's Boxing Day. Anything else? Anything? Any other times?
And then we are closed 27th of December to the 5th of January.
Okay.
Then we open as normal on the 6th.
Raring to go for 2026.
Yes.
Excellent stuff. Jane, have an excellent Christmas.
And you.
And all the very best for the new year.
Hope Santa brings you lots of goodies if you've been good.
You're sat in a, you know, I've refurbed the attic, especially for Santa.
You got them early.
There's plenty of room for him in here. You can see actually the hole in the chimney where he can get through.
You didn't even block up the chimney hole.
Well, you know.
You can't, can you?
Absolutely
not. Santa's got to get down there.
Too blooming true. Right, until next time.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.